Let's read together Isaiah chapters 38 and 39. In these chapters, we have Hezekiah's sickness and recovery in chapter 38, and Hezekiah's mistake and predicted consequences in chapter 39. Let's read the first 8 verses of chapter 38. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you in this city from the land of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down." Let's begin our study of these chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah chapters 38 and 39, with some background notes. In chapters 36 and 37 of Isaiah, we read about the deliverance of Jerusalem from the attack of the Assyrians. In 701 BC, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, invaded the kingdom of Judah and conquered all the outlying fortified cities surrounding Jerusalem. Then he besieged Jerusalem and sent threatening messages and letters urging King Hezekiah to surrender. But Hezekiah put his trust in the Lord, and with the godly counsel of the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah refused to surrender to Sennacherib. And then one of the great miracles of the Bible took place. In one night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 Assyrian soldiers and delivered Jerusalem. This great miracle is recorded 3 times in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 19, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and here in Isaiah chapter 37. Now when we come to Isaiah chapters 38 and 39, we see from verse 6 of chapter 38 that the events of these chapters took place before the miraculous deliverance of Judah. Notice in verse 6 of chapter 38, that the Lord promised Hezekiah that he would deliver Jerusalem from the threat of Assyria, which had already taken place in chapters 36 and 37, as we've seen. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Isaiah chapters 38 and 39. Doctrinal point number 1, God's miraculous signs are not without meaning. God's miraculous signs are not without meaning. We see in this first half of chapter 38 that Hezekiah was told by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah to set his house in order, for he was going to die. There is a time to die. And if you are given the opportunity, as Hezekiah was, set your house in order before you die, so that you don't leave a lot of red tape and unanswered questions and hard decisions for those you leave behind. Now, if you were Hezekiah and the Lord told you that it was time for you to die, what would you have done? Would you have accepted the will of God, or would you have bargained with God for more life as Hezekiah did? Would you have wept bitterly as Hezekiah did? Good questions, aren't they? Well, God graciously raised up King Hezekiah and told him that he would live 15 more years. And he gave him a miraculous sign. Notice, by the way, from verse 21 of chapter 38, that God's healing of Hezekiah did not exclude using the best medical treatment of the day. Isaiah the prophet directed the caretakers of Hezekiah to apply a poultice of figs to the boil in order to relieve the infection. Verse 21. Now Isaiah had said, "Let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover." We see in verse 22 that Hezekiah asked for a sign that God would raise him up as he promised. Verse 22, and Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Notice that Hezekiah did not tell God what sign to give him. But even so, the Bible is not teaching here that we should ask for signs from God. You see, everything that every Bible character did does not make it right for us today. It must be backed up by straight teaching passages of Scripture. We never read in Hebrews 11, for example, that by faith Hezekiah asked for a sign. So be careful when you ask for signs. Now, God may give believers confirming signs, but we should let God decide if and when to give them. God's signs are not just shooting stars and claps of thunder. God's signs have meaning. They may be wake-up calls to an individual or nation, or it could be a financial gift at just the right time to prove that God will provide, or a sermon or letter giving guidance for some decision, or other confirming signs. In the case of Hezekiah, God gave him a sign confirming that he was extending his life. If God could give additional daylight to make the sun's shadow go back up the stairs of the sundial, then God could give additional life to Hezekiah and delay the sunset of his life. Now, how God did this miracle, and whether he used some natural means, and whether it was only a localized miracle, is all speculation. The important point is that God's miraculous signs are not without meaning. Doctrinal point number two, God's miraculous healings are not without lessons. God's miraculous healings are not without lessons. Verses 9 through 20. In this section of the chapter, we have a personal lamentation or psalm with thanksgiving that Hezekiah composed after his recovery from sickness. Let's read these verses. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion. So he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I have had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you. As I do this day, the Father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. We see that God used Hezekiah's sickness and healing to humble Hezekiah and teach him some valuable lessons. In verses 10 through 14, Hezekiah uses a number of illustrations to convey how he felt when he first learned that it was time to die. Like a pulled-up tent, like cloth cut off from the weaver's loom, like being suddenly attacked by a lion. But then in verses 15 and 16, Hezekiah realizes that God was speaking to him through this experience, and he would never forget it. Verse 15, in fact, others would learn lessons from Hezekiah's experience, verse 16, as we are doing this evening. In verses 17 through 20, Hezekiah is confident that the Lord will raise him up as he promised. Hezekiah is no longer bitter and thinking that God didn't care. He has learned the lessons that God had for him and realizes that God loves him and has forgiven him. When God raises us up from a bed of sickness, maybe even with miraculous healing, have we learned the lessons that God has for us? God's miraculous healings are not without lessons. Now, what about practical application? Don't assume maturity preserves you from stupidity. Don't assume maturity preserves you from stupidity. Chapter 39, Isaiah chapter 39, beginning at verse 1. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he said, "At least there will be peace and truth in my days." We see in this chapter that King Hezekiah made a big mistake in the 15 years of extended life that God gave him. Some diplomats from Babylon came on an official visit to the kingdom of Judah. They came to build a coalition against their common enemy, Assyria. They also came to congratulate Hezekiah on his recovery from sickness, as we see in verse 1. And we learn from the parallel account in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 31 that they came to inquire about the miracle of prolonged daylight. Hezekiah made the mistake of showing these officials from pagan Babylon all the treasures of Judah. This was like throwing pearls before swine. "Hezekiah, how could you? You are a mature king." This was a foolish mistake, and God had to rebuke Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah. Because of this unwise decision, the Babylonians would eventually return and conquer the land and take all these treasures to Babylon, including some of Hezekiah's sons. In verse 8, Hezekiah seems to be selfishly saying that at least it would not happen in his days. This is not a great commentary on the closing years of Hezekiah's life. Now, do we all see the lesson and warning here? Don't assume maturity preserves you from stupidity.